I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Shout out to Cecil Shorts, the third, who joins us every single Wednesday at the bottom of the 2 o'clock hour. Always good to catch up with him. Let's head out to NRG, though, and talk, or at least hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, as he addresses the media.
Hey, the thing about this game, we understand Baltimore and the success they've had at home has been really well, and we understand where we've been in that battle, right? It hasn't been good, but that doesn't matter. Pass is the pass. It's all about these teams this year at this specific time. Like, how do we go out and do what we need to do to execute, to play complementary football, play as a team, play together, and how do we need to finish? We finished the right way, you know, we can go win the football game.
What have you seen from Baltimore despite their record that obviously concerns you?
What I've seen from Baltimore, they're an explosive unit, very explosive on offense. Although they've lost some games, they scored a ton of points. And, you know, they have explosive players all across the field. Whether it's at the wide receiver position, all right, with Zay Flowers, Bateman, Hopkins, with their tight ends, also explosive players, and then the backs as well. Henry is an explosive player. They have people that you have to keep eyes on. You have to be aware of everyone. And, of course, we all understand Lamar and the caliber player that he is. Right? He's an outstanding player, one of the best players in our league, one of the best players of this generation. He changes the game tremendously, and he's done an outstanding job with that team.
Go ahead, Kristen.
Considering all those weapons you just pointed out, do you think it will change things a lot for them if Lamar can't play?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it doesn't change. They're still explosive players who Lamar is getting the football to, so that doesn't change, right? If Rush has to come in and play, he still has very capable guys he can get the ball to. So it really doesn't matter to us. We just have to be on the details when it comes to the defense and how we play. We have to play our style. We have to rep our style every single snap, and we have to be on the details of our job. We do that, and we play together. We play with awareness, right? We know they have a lot of wrinkles in their offense, a lot of good plays schematically that's hurt us in the past. So we have to play with awareness from our defensive line, linebackers, and all our guys in the back end. Everybody has to be aware, play with great eye discipline. That's how you go out and play good defense versus this team.
Any update on managing Derek Stingley Jr. as you guys were able to last week? And do you have anything on Will Anderson Jr. not practicing?
Yeah, Sting and Will did not practice today. They're both managing. We're looking at those guys from day to day. We'll see how they continue to improve throughout the week.
In the second half, Tennessee, the offensive line looked a lot better in the first half. Didn't allow as many pressures, no sacks. You ran the ball really well in the second half. Was there something that changed for the offensive line between the first half and second half, or is that kind of how you hope things go with the O-line, where you just keep hammering and eventually it turns the corner?
For offensive line, we just have to keep working, right? And that's the message. Like, you just keep working. The game isn't over at the second, at halftime. Like, you have to keep working, and it's about how you outwork people. How do you finish? Right? That's all that matters. And so it was nothing special that happened at halftime. The guys just continue to work, and for all our guys and for our entire team, it's, for me, my message, let's just keep getting better. Like, every snap you get, it doesn't matter when it – like, are you getting better every single snap? That's what this is about. That's what this week will be about. That's how we prepare at practice. Like, I just want everybody to be focused on themselves and getting better. And you can get better in practice. You can get better within game, just doing what we need to do to play physical, tough football.
Woody has continued to have success with the more – touches he has. Do you anticipate that continuing to rise, the number of touches he gets?
Every game is different. Whatever touches Woody gets, he's continuing to make the most of them. Whoever touches the football, just make the most of what carries you get.
What has practice been like, Coach, after the win? You know, because at some point when you're losing, you know, consecutive games like that, it can feel like pressure, but you all finally got that first win. It seemed like the guys were able to relax just a little bit and, you know, not relax, but to be able to just enjoy themselves for the first time?
Our guys dialed in. Like, there is no – I know you said relax. There is no relaxing. There is no letting up. And our preparation, sorry, it's been the same. Like, we haven't got the results, but the process is there. We got the right people that work the right way at practice, so nothing drastically changed about our practice today. Because I've seen our guys work every week the same way, right? And they're dialed in. They had a good day today. I'm proud of the way that they worked today. Very deliberate. Communication was on point in all three phases. Guys were just executing and being deliberate in what they had to do to go out and help themselves get better, to be in position to help us win the football game.
From MJ. What'd you see from MJ Stewart filling in for Gardner Johnson?
Yeah, MJ wasn't filling in for anyone. MJ, he started, he played really well for us. He did what we asked him to do, and he played fast, he played physical, he communicated really well on the back end.
New season, but some of your guys said that Christmas, that game stuck with them and it is a motivator. How do you feel like you guys handle that in terms of just, obviously it's a new game, but compartmentalizing and remembering, hey, that was a game where you didn't have the kind of performance you wanted to have?
Yeah, it wasn't our best game in the Christmas game last year versus the Ravens. For me, you flush it. That wasn't, you put on the tape and you see that's not representative of who we are, what we're about. We didn't tackle well. We didn't score any points. It was not a good outing at all. And so we don't harp on the past or lean on this. Like, we got a new team this year, right? The Ravens have a new team. We don't just pick up where we left off last year. Like, how do we come together right now to do what we need to do on Sunday to win the game?
Talk about process a lot, and then you get a win to say, okay, when, like, it's like kind of proof of what you're saying. You know what I mean? Does that make a difference in that regard? Now that you show, like, this is what I mean.
No, for me, some of the things that I've say happened in practice last week, just a really cool thing that happened in practice last week. We talk about attacking the football all the time, right? And there were multiple clips of our defense, and specifically Kamari. That's in how he practiced last week and the way he attacked the ball. He probably took the ball away at least three or four times in last Thursday's practice, right? And a couple others, he was jumping up, tipping the football. It was very deliberate. And when we went out and played on Sunday versus the Titans, he had multiple ops where the ball was coming his way. He had one where he ran all the way across the field and attacked the football and made a play. Several others where he's just ripping at the ball. It didn't come out every time, but to see him and his mindset carry over from our Thursday practice to Sunday, that's just very representative of the process and what it looks like. So I truly believe in, and I tell this to our guys all the time, is like how you work throughout the week is going to show up in some form or way, in some form or fashion on Sunday. On the fourth down play, another cool one where Tommy, he tips the ball on fourth down. Well, in practice on Thursday, he's doing the exact same thing. So I just show guys, like, it's all about how you work. So you're not getting a game day and you're turning it up, so to speak, or I got to show up now and I'm going to get hyped and ready for the – like, no. The process works because I've done it all week, And now on Sunday, you just continue to be who you've been throughout the week, and you will make the plays that you're supposed to make.
Training camp that, you know, when you all draft rookies when they come in here, you know, you expect them to hit the ground running from day one, be ready to play this game. Over the 4 weeks, what have you seen from your rookies such as Ariante and Woody and Higgins and Moore?
And from our rookies, essentially those top four guys you mentioned, I've seen the guys just put their head down, work. They don't say much at all. Forget they're here. You don't even know them. But all of those guys, you know, from Tay, Higgins, Noel, Woody, all those guys just continue to get better every week. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing these guys mature right before our eyes. You're seeing them get more opportunities because of the trust that they've shown with the opportunities they've been given. Like, you give Higgs an opportunity to go get the football. He's done it several times, made a lot of big catches for us. We got to get him more, right? You see Woody and what he's done in a run game and passing game. He's earned the opt to get more opportunities, right? And Tay, like, we know how tough it is to play left tackle in the league, especially as a young rookie coming in, starting that left tackle. He hasn't blinked. He understands. He takes ownership of his job. He takes his role serious. And he's working at it every single day out at practice, working on getting better, working on the small fundamental techniques of hand placement, right, footwork, hat placement, how he's finishing. He's there. I love the way they work, right? And Noel is another one. I go out to practice early. He's out there early catching punts, catching kickoffs. Like, he's working at his craft. And nobody beats him in a meeting. He's always the first one in meetings. And he always works the right way. You can tell he's raised the right way, like, comes from a really good family, good background, just has really good qualities about him that I love. So I'm excited when you draft guys and you're watching guys, you're watching their college tape, you see things that you like, but to see it come to life quickly here in the first month of the season is cool, and to see where their trajectory is going. We got some really good young rookies, have a promising future.
Calling the defense, what does it allow you to redistribute some of your time to other portions of the team? Like, where does it allow you to redistribute that?
Not calling it. I'm still locked in on the defense. I'm there. We're all talking on the headset. So defensively, offensively, I'm dialed in every phase. So we're all talking, seeing what adjustments and things we need to make, how they're playing us, what do we need to do to make the proper adjustments to help us to be in position to win the game.
So when you're preparing for a guy like Lamar Jackson, who are you using on the scout team, and how do you replicate what he can do?
We cannot replicate Lamar Jackson. I have no one here that can help me. You want to come and help us? Man, I can get two guys just running in different directions. Now, it's very difficult to replicate Lamar. That's a great question. You try to put receivers or other skilled players at the quarterback position, but it's different. When you see Lamar on Sundays, you see that's a bad man, right? So, you know, nobody can replicate him. He's a special player, all in a league of his own. So we don't even try to replicate him.
On Monday about how the ball security was a big thing and the time of possession. Do you feel like the offense is now heading in the right direction, but not to get rest of your laurels, but just to feel like some positive things are happening on offense?
And we did a lot of positive things on Sunday. We've done a lot of positive things throughout all of our games. Finally on Sunday, the results were just in our favor, and we were able to win the football game. But those things never change, right? If you want to win a game, you have to possess the football, right? You cannot turn the ball over and expect to beat good football teams. It just does not happen in this league. So you have to possess the football, and you have to be able to stay on track. You have to be able to sustain drives, and that will not change this week. That's the formula every week. You got to possess the ball. You got to be able to sustain the drives. You got to be able to run the ball. Right? You got to be effective and win on third down. Like, that'll always be the formula to win, and none more important than this week. Right? It's a really great defense. The way these guys fly around, I mean, they play defense the right way. So we have our work cut out for us. We know they'll have a ton of pressures, a lot of different looks. They'll roll a lot of different coverages. and dropping some ends, a lot of simulated pressures. So we have our work cut out for us as far as post-snap, what are they doing and where we need to go with our reads.
With Lamar possibly being out this week, does the fact that you played his backup in Cooper Rush last year, does that tape kind of help the team at all?
For us, we're specifically focused on the Ravens and how they run their offense. So that's what it'll be. That's our preparation. That's what we have to go off of. It'll be the Ravens film. So that's what we'll go off of. And we're operating as if Lamar is playing. Like, we'll see what happens throughout the week, but we're not playing in the what-ifs and that. Right now, we're focusing on Lamar and the dynamics that he brings to the game.
Specifically on the offensive side of the ball, how have you seen communication and physicality progress from week to week? And do you feel like you guys have settled on your best five as y'all talk about your best five out there?
Yeah, the communication on offense has definitely picked up. You look at week one, right, we were not getting out of the huddle in a timely fashion, and we were up against the clock a little bit too much, felt rushed a lot when we got to the line of scrimmage. And now I feel like the coaches, Kaylee, and all the offense coaches did a really good job of emphasizing that at practice, making sure we're getting the call in quickly. CJ's done a really good job of communicating in the huddle. So now I feel like that's kind of past us, right? We are getting to the line of scrimmage in decent enough time to make the proper checks to what we're trying to do offensively.
Thank you.
All right, that's head coach D'Amico Ryans. Hey, the hell with that. They don't believe that Lamar's playing. Well, the way they talk.
I felt like B. Scott was going to say, what about the second part of my question, coach? What about that O-line? You got five? You got six? How many you got,
yeah,
man?
You got five or six? No, he knew it.
Well, that was a good one, man. That was a good long one from D'Amico Ryans right there.
That's right, the head coach. As we head into this important game against the Baltimore Ravens for them to try to get closer to 500, that was him talking about that. A little bit later on, bottom of the 3 o'clock hour, we'll hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, as he discusses this Ravens defense that, one, isn't anywhere near whole and has been giving up a lot of yards. We'll hear from C.J. coming up a little bit later. But it's Wednesday. Let's do a little stock up. Stock down right here on the drive.
All right, y'all. Hey, before we do that, take that next exit, man. Hit that C store. Go to Kroger, go to HEB, get you a case of cold Coors Light, get them on ice, pop a top, and repeat, baby. Come on now. It's a cold beer that is made to chill, right? We're talking about made to chill. Been keeping Texas chill for many a year. August 1978, to be exact. Since 1978. That's back when them fine folks up in the Rocky Mountains shipped the first 23,000. Is that right? 23,000? Is that the right number?
Oh, you nailed it. 23,000 cases right here. Y'all.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
Tootski, come on.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
every week, though. There's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
I tell him to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
That's right. Every Wednesday right here on this program, that'd be The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Right around this time, we do a little Stock Up, Stock Down. Texans, of course, 1-3, finally getting in the win column this past Sunday against the Titans, now heading into Baltimore for Week 5. And that's what we're talking with the stocks this week. Starting with you, Clint Sterner, Old Dirty Red. What is your stock down? I want to get the negatives out of the way first. Stock down for the Houston Texans heading into Baltimore for Week 5.
I got a good one, and I feel pretty good about this. It's not easy to find a stock down after you go and you beat up on the lowly Tennessee Titans. But I got one that kind of dates back, I think. This is great coming on the heels of the D'Amico Ryans audio. Because he did exactly why I think this is why my stock down makes sense. I'm going to go with Tim Settle and Foley Fatakasi. If I'm Tim Settle and I'm Foley Fatakasi, I'm a big part of going out there and giving up 30 rushes for 169 yards to the Jacksonville Jaguars. No, it was Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, Tampa.
And since then, Ron, it seems like all everybody wants to talk about is Tommy Togai. I mean, if you're a D lineman right now and you are of that group that was thought to be kind of the first and second wave of defensive linemen to come in there, you have got to be fed up with Tommy. You got to be sick and tired of hearing about Tommy Togai and everything he does. He's always right. He does this right. And guess who we call on when we get ran through like mess through a goose? Guess who we call on? Tommy. So I got to go with them top two guys, top three or four guys if we're being honest. But Tim Settle and Foley Fatakasi, why ain't we talking about them boys when it comes to slowing down the run? Why ain't we talking about them boys when we're talking about hand placement and being where you're supposed to be and anchoring down and keeping from getting set in the lap of your linebackers? So I got to go stock down with them. I mean,
yeah, you might want to go back and check that Tampa Bay book tape. If you see why they're not talking about them.
Well, no, I know I got a good feeling why. I mean, D'Amico's all but telling us, but boy, I tell you, man, their stock's got to be down because the other fellas appears to be sky high.
As I said, want to get these negatives out of the way first on a little stock up, stock down today on The Drive. Sterner, Hughley, we just got Sterner's stock down for the Texans heading into Week 5. We're on the show, Hughley. Stock down for you as you look at this Texans-Ravens matchup.
Yeah, we talked about it a little earlier in the show. If you missed it, check it out at 2 o'clock. Mine is Christian Kirk. Again, you know, week one, you fool me once. Week two, I don't know now, whatever George said. But his impact is not at all what I thought it would be.
You fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Thanks, George. And not at all what they need it to be honest with you. And and to me, there is nothing about Christian Kirk that would make me as a defensive coordinator feel like I need to loosen up any kind of coverage on Nico Collins. Now, hell, I guess if it's 2nd and 33, I'll go man-to-man coverage, yes. Bump and run here with no help behind me, but whatever. But there's nothing that is being done around Nico Collins that makes me scream, I need to loosen up coverage. And Christian Kirk, I will give some grace with the injury because hamstring, obviously, for him, that there may be a mental thing to get over that, or he may be sore. Who knows? Hopefully, in the next few weeks, we see a more improved version of Christian Kirk that has more impact to the team. But right now, his impact is not at anywhere close to where they need it to be.
The speculation.
We got them negatives out of the way. You are listening to The Drive with Sterner and Hughley every Wednesday right around 3:30 p.m., right now, right around this time, we do stock up, stock down. Now on to those positives, heading into Week 5 for the Texans. Sticking with you, Ron, the show, what is your stock up for the Texans as they head into Baltimore?
Well, Tyler, there's a lot of places to go. Woody Marks seems to be the clear one. I see a lot of people texting that one in. But Clint mentioned him, and I'm with him. Tommy Togiai. They have been struggling big time, you know, to find consistency up there, and it really came to a head in the Tampa game. And I'm certain Clint, Tommy wasn't active for that game. He's now been active for the Jacksonville game and then the Tennessee game. And, you know, it's hard not to see 072 out there kind of making an impact. And it's weird. They talked about him so glowingly during training camp. It's almost a surprise that they said the first 2 weeks they weren't going to have him active. Now he's been active, and he has been. I think there's an argument to, you know, Edwards Jr., Tim Settle, Foley, all the guys you named up there, that he is the most consistent player up there. He actually gets a push from the inside on pass rush downs as well. He's been really good. And since this is stock up, stock down, I think his playing time is going to continue to rise with the way he's been playing.
That's right.
Stock up, stock down. Put a lid on this thing for us, Dirty Red. Clint Sterner, what is your stock up for the Texans heading into Baltimore, sir?
I can't go with anybody but one man, and that is Dalton Schultz. The hell I gave this man, the expectations that are placed upon him when he came down 45 from Dallas to Houston, had a decent little first year, wet the bed last year. It was rough. And it was rough to start this year. It was rough at times in training camp. To go out and execute the way he executed this past Sunday, every time I see a highlight or every time I turn the film back on to check something, 86 jumps off. And the effort, the energy, the physicality, the want to, the no quit, the all of that stuff is absolutely beautiful. And boy, does this team ever need it. Three of the top four tight ends, he being the fourth of the top guys, not fourth in order, but four tight ends with this team, him being the only one healthy, can't come out of the game, needs to stay in the game. The offensive line being retooled, he's a guy that needs to be the tip of the spear when it comes to showing extra physicality and being better than expected. Big, big, big weekend for Dalton Schultz. I don't know that his stock, for me personally, I don't know that his stock's ever been higher as a Texan.
And listen, Clint, I obviously we know D'Amico and Nick Cayley and all of them, they watch the film hell more than we do, watch the tape more than we do, and know the player and see it. I think it's a clear thing we learned on Sunday, maybe even before that, is, hey, man, get this guy involved early. And then the other parts of his game, you know, I think he will show a level of interest in as well. And sometimes it looked like he didn't even seem to be interested in the physical part of the game. And then, as you said, he did not a good job just for, a Dalton Schultz. He did a good job from a tight end perspective in terms of setting the edge and then going and get guys. So get him involved in all ways. All right, coming up as we continue here on the drive, we heard from D'Amico Ryans earlier. Now we will hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He had his best game of the season Sunday. We'll hear him ahead of this Baltimore Ravens game coming up next.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Good Lord. Baseball playoffs going, and Manny Machado just killed the ball. I mean, he hit it out of the stadium. I mean, that is really cute of that left fielder to keep running backwards like that. That ball was hit long. That ball's 30 seats. God, I want to go to a game there, man. I know you've been there.
I've been once. I don't think I appreciate it as much as I should. I think I had other priorities. I think I was chasing. The most powerful thing in the world was
that feels like you could really still find appreciation for both. Yeah. In the great film, The Breakup. I mean, Vince Vaughn seemed to appreciate both.
God, that is such a good movie. Nice.
Thank you. Great one. Great pull. Thanks, man. Shout out. Football Talk, Sports Radio 610, presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off with the juicy matchup between the Houston Texans and Baltimore Ravens. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And as we continue a little football talk, let's hear some talk from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, here at NRG talking to the media.
Offense took some steps in the right direction, especially ball security, time of possession. Do you feel like you guys are starting to get on the track you're hoping for?
Yeah, it's coming along. You know, it takes time, but I think we're starting to get a rapport for one another and getting better at practice every week, which is nice. And, yeah, games are always good to, you know, see where you grow.
I know you guys are focused on this season, but do you think at all about what happened on Christmas against the Ravens as you get set to play them again?
Not in that light. You just watch the tape, analyze it, try to fix the issues.
Are you confident that you'll be able to perform better this time around against them than you did then?
Yeah, definitely.
Why is that?
Just because we're a new team, it's a new season, new circumstances, don't got to play 3 games in 10 days. So, yeah, it's just new.
As a competitor, how do you compartmentalize? Obviously, you're aware of going to Baltimore was your first game in the NFL. That was your first road playoff game. How do you compartmentalize the task at hand of just focusing on this game, but also knowing in the back of your mind that that's a place where you obviously want to have some success?
I really want to have success everywhere. It doesn't really like hiding, you know, or lessen. It's just, you know, consistent preparation, consistent focus that I get that done. So just try to remain focused on the things that matter. And I don't really think that's something that's really big on my mind, but yeah.
If you look at this Baltimore defense, what is it that stands out to you in terms of what you got to really be aware of?
Yeah, they're playing really good ball for the most part. Of course, they're giving up just some explosives here and there, but they're always really good. You know, Roquan's always great. Their D-line is always good. I know they're dealing with some injuries, but, you know, they all always have, you know, good players regardless if it's ones, twos, threes. So they'll be prepared. I know they'll be motivated. You know, they're in a boat like we are, you know, trying to find wins. So it'll be a fight no matter who plays.
What do you recall about the first time you met Woody Marks, or one of the first times? And what do you think about how he's grown in his role?
Yeah, he's super Atlanta, if you can like put somebody in a bucket of like what Atlanta looks like, I'd say it'd be Woody. That was the first thing, because I have a lot of friends from Georgia, like from the Atlanta area, and he's like super, super that way. But yeah, he's just quiet to himself, but plays really good ball.
Along those same lines, CJ, this past draft, they went out and drafted some rookies for the offensive side of the ball, and Ariante, Jalen, Jayden, and Woody. What have you seen from them throughout these first 4 games?
Growth, you know. That's all you kind of want to see is, like, you really, really don't get game reps in camp or preseason. It's just not the same, you know. And I think these early games, you know, they've had their struggles, they have their successes, just like everybody else. But as we continue to roll, like, they're starting to get it more and more and more. So, I mean, that's really all you want to see, and they're doing a good job. It's not easy to come in, and I can, you know, have a little bit of I can relate to them a little bit just because I was thrown in the fire first game too, you know, and it's not all – you're not going to play perfect or be perfect. So I thought they're doing a good job of just growing.
You've had some success with the QB sneak this year. From your point of view, what goes into a successful quarterback sneak?
Just like using your legs, and of course it's up front. Like Jake does a really good job with Juice and Lake, and then Ed, and it's really just, you know, just trying to get your legs under you to try to push forward.
You talked about wanting to use your legs more. Are you feeling good about how you're doing and picking your spots?
Yeah, I think I feel good about it. I don't try to overanalyze that area. Just try to play instinctually when it comes to like running. I don't know. I don't try to overthink that.
Is that something you enjoy doing?
I enjoy playing football. So whatever. I do anything that has to do with it. Yeah, I just love playing. So throwing the ball, running it, getting hit hard, getting yelled at. whatever comes with it. You can't accept the good and not the bad. So I think the running part is a fun part. Yeah.
I was just asking that because it seems like you get a little, I don't know, you seem to get hyped up when you get a good run off. So I was just wondering if that's like kind of.
I think my teammates like it. Okay. Yeah, I think D'Amico likes it too. He always telling me to run the ball.
CJ, after four games, how have you seen this Nick Caley offense start to evolve more?
A lot, man. You know, it's tough, you know, because for him, you know, he's done a good job of trying to listen to other guys, but also keep his core mentality and core plays. But, you know, this game's evolving. It's not, you know, what it used to be, and it's not what it was last year. You got to just find every, like Coach Day used to always say in college, every year when we hit the offseason for like self-scout, he would always say you have to become the new iPhone. You know, like every year you got to upgrade or you'll get caught up. So like iPhone, they come out with a new iPhone every year, you know, so they don't get caught up from other brands. So I think that's the same thing. Like, but it takes time. It's not just overnight. I think he's doing a good job of like listening and to what I like, to what the team likes. And a lot of our guys are young, so a lot of the run and gun and like the fun stuff is like easy for us because we've done it before. But we're just trying to both get off, you know, our mark and, you know, push towards being uncomfortable with being uncomfortable with one another, but also trying to get some comfort plays in as well.
Based off that comfortability, was there ever an issue during the game of not getting the plays in fast enough that led to any frustration, or was it just you guys talking to each other?
It's part of the game, yeah. So.
I was actually going to ask a similar question to that. Like, as an offshoot, like, how have you seen communication improve week to week? Like, D'Amico was in earlier saying how, you know, you guys were still trying to figure that out, and it seems like y'all have made some progress. 4 weeks in, how have you seen y'all's communication as a whole improve from week to
week? Yeah, just like I said, it's always improvement you can have there, and it's part of it, you know, like new relationship with coordinator and quarterback. So you don't always just come in and have a, you know, easy time on the mic. Sometimes it goes out. Sometimes I have to call a play or whatever happens. It's just always about getting it fixed and just trying to move the ball forward. So, yeah, it's just something I think that you don't want to happen, but I think it's good sometimes because you learn from it and then you get better.
Obviously, you know, you run a little bit more. So just taking you back to like your offseason training, or just kind of like that balance between trying to improve your acceleration versus trying to improve maximum speed, because sometimes it's kind of hard to look and actually get to the maximum speed all the time. So what was just kind of like that balance of trying to improve acceleration versus improving maximum speed, so when you get into scramble situations?
Yeah, I think just what the program that I was on with Clint, it was really good for me. I was in here really early, just trying to, you know, take a step forward in my, like, being 23. I'm not, like, fully in my grown man body all the way yet. You know, I'm still growing every year. And I just think, like, I got to just continue to be hard on myself about not only just lifting weights but eating the right foods. Like, that's been a big thing, too. That's just a thing where I think the explosiveness comes from, like, being better with my diet, being better with, you know, stretching, and, like, I feel like I'm getting old. So I'm not as quick as I used to be. I was watching my high school stuff a couple of days ago. I was, like, 180, and I was rolling. Well, not no more. But, yeah, I try to just be better with that stuff so I can run fast. All right, thanks.
All right, that was
What are we doing, man?
CJ Stroud.
What are we doing?
How much taller y'all think he'll get?
Let me tell you, man. Let me explain something.
2-3 inches?
If CJ Stroud is working on explosion and top end speed in his offseason, there's no wonder we're 1-3. The head coach is encouraging him to run. What are we doing here, man? I mean, is it Lamar Jackson week? So we just all want to talk about our legs. What are we doing? what are we doing? What's the infatuation with CJ Stroud running?
That's a promo. And Harry.
Which part?
The part where my favorite part was, look, let me tell you something.
I mean, what are we doing?
If
do you think Tom Brady ever went into an offseason and was like, yeah, let me get this explosion. Let me get this top speed.
Explosion and my top end speed in the offseason, it's no wonder why we're 1-3. That's
I mean, what I, like, I don't under like, it's from the head coach all the way down to the questioning.
It's a small part of his
like,
game, I guess. He's adding to it, trying to add that part, that element to the game, just in case.
He's not outrunning anybody.
Use it.
It's my decision.
I'm confused, man.
It's not easy.
Why are we talking about CJ Stroud running so often? We're talking about CJ leg. CJ, we're talking so much about CJ running. The head coach is always telling him to run, and we're questioning him about explosion versus top end speed in his offseason training. And by the way, anytime CJ Stroud starts an answer with, you know, you've asked a tough ass question.
And sometimes it seems that it shouldn't be.
And No. I don't mean tough as in
no,
like.
No, I know.
I think it's so off base that he's like, man, I'm not real sure how to answer this.
Yeah.
Like I doubt very seriously, Ron. I would bet a large amount of money right now that CJ Stroud has not worked on top end speed since he got to Ohio State. Like,
I don't know. He said he did, man. I take
no,
it
he
did.
Word.
Working with no, Clint
he
here.
I take it.
No, he
did.
He said he felt
said,
like
hey, man, he's going to run some more and use only, his instincts. He's and only, damn it, he's got to be top end speed
in,
to do it.
In one sentence, he somehow said he's 23 years old. He's young. He's still in, he had in his grown man body. And then 2 seconds later, he's talking about how he feels old.
He's feeling old.
God bless,
can't
brother.
Move like he used
I mean, what's going on here, man?
How much bigger, though, for real, do y'all think he'll get? I mean, he's already a pretty big
CJ's
dude,
not getting but, any you know, bigger. CJ's not getting any bigger. CJ's not getting any faster.
I'm not participating.
He could be like Dennis Rodman or something.
Guys, he's not. Did y'all see the commercial where he's the Old Spice commercial where he's shirtless? He's not getting any bigger, guys.
He can improve that.
If he improves that, he's going to lose weight. I mean, we're talking about losing baby fat. If you're going to do anything, you're going to lose a little bit of baby fat and keep it moving.
It looks fast in those HEB commercials.
Horrible acting, though.
But he looks fast.
Man, I'm going to tell you, those commercials are tough because I've been there.
Bad.
But I've been there before. Like those guys didn't look at that script until they got on location.
But the Astros guys got it down way better than that. I'm not saying like they're winning Oscars.
I feel like they practiced a bit.
No. Yeah, but the Texans won, man. Outside of Nico, it is so cringy.
No, it's like Will Anderson sounds like he is reading that script for the first time.
He likes the jalapeno. Is the worst.
He literally is not. He's like, oh, hey, just put it in teleprompter, man. I'll read it when we throw it up
there. Oh, Will makes me cringe.
Oh, yeah, we got to move on.
What you got coming?
Yeah, he practiced that for damn sure. All right, tape drop Tuesday. I had the positives for you yesterday. I got a couple of negatives for you today. It is hump day. We've had a lot of positive this week, and look, we got to do what the drive does and bring you back down to earth. We got to give you a little negative. There was some rough watch on film as well. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610, y'all.